From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where Charlie Baker has announced he will not seek a third term for governor of Massachusetts. The decision comes, Baker says, as he intends to focus on containing COVID-19. His lieutenant governor, Karen Pulido, says she will not seek re-election either. For more on what this means, we're joined now by GBH's Mike Dean, who's been at the Statehouse reporting on this. And Mike, I imagine you must be having a really busy day, so I really appreciate you making the time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. It's my job. We live for days like this.
Absolutely. And Mike, the big question here is why? Why has Baker decided not to seek a third term?
Yeah, well, Baker did put out a letter to supporters, and really the only statement that came out earlier in the day about why he made this decision is that a race next year in 2022 would distract from the work that he and Lieutenant Governor Karen Pulido are doing to rebuild the state during the pandemic and, you know, to manage the last stages, or hell, the middle stages, as it may be, of the COVID-19 pandemic as it continues to go on. He said they got a lot of work done, but he didn't want this distraction. And that their families agreed with them that this was the right choice to make. At least that's, you know, at the outset, that's what Baker's telling his supporters is the case.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that's really the whole story?
No, of course not. There's a lot of politics going on behind the scenes. I mean, that could be a very good look into what Baker's mindset is, you know, what is legitimately on his mind. And it's certainly true, but it's only a part of the puzzle here. If you look at some polls that have come out suggesting that Baker would have a very hard time in a GOP or Republican primary next year against former Whitman Representative Jeff Deal, Baker is enormously popular within the voter base. He's just enormously unpopular in his own party. It would be very difficult for a moderate like Baker to win a gubernatorial primary race in the now Trump-centric, very socially conservative-oriented Massachusetts state GOP. There were rumors that he would consider running as an independent. It looks like that's not going to happen. So he's a man without a party, and it's hard to run for governor if you're without a party. The real surprise here today was that Pulido is also not going to run for governor. Everyone kind of assumed that if Baker was out, Pulido would step in, be his kind of moderate Republican successor. But it looks like she also doesn't like her chances in the GOP, the party she's been a part of her whole life, in this kind of now new Trump-centric GOP we have here in Massachusetts. And so both of these moderate Republicans are bowing out.
Yeah, there's definitely a huge rift in the state GOP right now. And so with Baker and Pulido out of the equation, what's the landscape looking like? As you mentioned, there's Republican Jeff Deal, who ran and lost the Senate challenge to Elizabeth Warren in 2018. Who else is in the mix?
Right. Deal is the only notable declared Republican in the race right now. So it's kind of his to lose from that perspective. And that means, you know, reasonably speaking, given what the Massachusetts general electorate is going to be in November of 2022, Deal does not stand much of a chance to win the race outright, meaning that it is that Democratic primary, this burgeoning Democratic race, that's really going to tell us who the next governor is. Again, that's just going by, you know, the number of unenrolled versus Democrats versus Republicans and the trends that voters in the state have sent. It's very unlikely a conservative Republican is going to get elected. Therefore, we really do have to look at these Democratic candidates and see who's doing what. And that's where it does get very interesting, because right now we have a slate of very progressive candidates, a former senator, state senator in Ben Downing, a current state senator in Sonia Chang Diaz, Harvard professor Danielle Allen, who are the big three in the race right now, kind of jockeying for support and for money. Their campaigns just got a lot brighter. With Baker out and the incumbent out, it means that a Democrat likely will win this race. Those three have already been running for some time. Of course, there's Attorney General Mara Healey, who has probably the most popular Democratic politician in the state at the moment, at least one that's going to, you know, be able to run for governor. Still unclear whether or not she's going to announce that that is her intention, but people are saying that to look for the next few weeks. She said she'd make up her decision in the fall. I don't know if we can still call it the fall, but if Healey gets into this race, she could bigfoot some of those other Democrats out, or we could have a very competitive and honestly very interesting fight amongst the left side of the party to see who's going to be the standard bearer going into 22.
So how much of all of that do you think could shift and change between now and November?
quite a lot. We don't know what's going to happen, say, on the federal level. Of course, a gubernatorial election coincides with the national midterm elections. So a lot of that national media coverage is going to be about the Biden administration and about control of Congress, whether or not Republicans will likely have a good year. Just probably not in Massachusetts. That's kind of the way it looks. So nationally, Republicans could win back the House and Senate at the federal level. But if turnout is going to be as high as it has been here for these gubernatorial year elections, that means high Democratic turnout here at home. It's a very good chance that Democrats are going to come in. One of the big X factors now is, if Healey gets in, is she going to be the moderate candidate against these more progressive types? Is there going to be another kind of Baker-style moderate who might want to run as a Democrat, maybe someone who's going to self-finance, pick a billionaire and make him a candidate, that kind of a thing? We don't know if there's another shoe that's going to drop. We don't know if the moderate side of the Democratic Party is going to put up a candidate, or if it's just going to be, a set of what right now are fairly left-leaning candidates on that Democratic side.
Well, I think one thing we do know is that both you and I are going to be very busy in the new year keeping up with this. That's GBH State House reporter Mike Dean. Thank you so much.
I'll be talking to you, Paris.
All right, y'all. It's a wide open field, and you are going to be keeping up with this race, too. What's your reaction to Baker's decision not to run again? Are you rooting for anyone in this race just yet, or are there folks you're hoping will enter soon? Send us a text at 617-272-7346 with your thoughts. That's 617-272-7346. Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. With COVID rates and hospitalizations climbing in recent weeks, and with more holiday gatherings coming soon, some local experts say the state needs to increase vaccine availability. Harvard Public Health scientist Kate Miller says there's an urgent need for more vaccination sites that serve kids.
Only about half of the sites that are offering vaccines are offering them for adolescents, 12 to 17, and only about a quarter are offering them for 5 to 11. There's an issue here that I think is very pressing.
Miller says there's also a need for more vaccination sites that are accessible to people who rely on public transit. In other news, as New England sees a rise in hate-related incidents, Middlesex County District Attorney Marion Ryan says her office is also fielding more complaints. At a virtual public meeting with community and law enforcement leaders, Ryan outlined what she and her colleagues are seeing.
Between the end of April of this year and today, we've received 46 reports of incidents. The majority have been based on race, with smaller numbers based on religion, sexual orientation, and sexual identity.
Ryan says her office will start displaying the reports on a virtual map so that the public can track what's going on in their own cities and towns. The FBI says there were 310 hate crime incidents in Massachusetts last year, involving 408 victims. Meanwhile, Bristol County Sheriff and avid Donald Trump supporter Thomas Hodgson is facing a challenger in next year's election. Former prosecutor Nick Bernier says he's running against Hodgson, who's served as Bristol County Sheriff for the past 24 years. Bernier says Hodgson has been too focused on national issues like immigration and Trump's failed effort to build a wall at the U.S. border with Mexico.
It wasn't practical. It was just a talking point. But he seemed like he spent a lot of time pushing that talking point on Fox News, rather than, working in Bristol County.
Hodgson, who ran unopposed last election, says he welcomes the competition. And finally, state and local officials are supporting Harvard University custodians and security workers as they seek a new contract. Their current deal expires Friday. At a campus rally yesterday, workers asked for a raise that reflects their value to the school and keeps pace with inflation. They were supported by State Representative Mike Connolly, who argued that Harvard can't afford it.
Seeing the endowment increase by over $11 billion just last year, there's no excuse to deny people their basic dignity and the basic value of their work.
Harvard officials declined to comment on the negotiations. Now, it's important to note that these employees are considered essential workers, and they are essential to the Crimson community. More than 375 Harvard graduate students, employees, and undergrads signed a letter of support for 32 BJ workers. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since collective bargaining and community support, I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey there! A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR's up first in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day. And the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And yes, there is a podcast version. So want more of the best news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.